Blog Talk Radio.
There is at this time a very well orchestrated attempt to divide and conquer the American people along racial lines, along class lines. It is a fourth generation warfare, full scale assault on this country and our institutions. It is not just military, it is that also. It's also political, it's economic, it's social, it's psychological, it's in the media, it's in the courts, you name it. Full frontal assault. And the greatest weapon right now they have is to divide and conquer us. You can see it in effect right now. Obama is not a unifier. He's the most divisive president this country has ever seen. And he's doing it intentionally. He would love nothing better than see a race war. He would love to see that. And that's what I think he's trying to do, which is exactly why we went and guarded shops in Ferguson who belonged. One was a black lady's shop, Natalie's Cakes and More. Another one was a Chinese-owned restaurant. We had the whole rainbow of America right there that we were protecting. What I want to see is like in Baltimore or other places like Ferguson. It should have been the veterans of Ferguson who had the protection of that, of the entire community in hand. It should not have taken guys from all over the country to go all the way to Ferguson and guard one block of buildings. That's a fail. It shows the weakness of the American people. We've been so weakened, and this is what I worry about, and I'm going to close out after this. My concern is what we saw in Katrina is what you're going to see nationwide. I think that's the intent. I think the intent is to collapse our economy, make it as bad as possible. That's why they're not preparing to feed you. What are they preparing to do? What are they stocking up on? MRAPs, ammunition. They're preparing to control you, not feed you. I think that in keeping with that communist agenda of a fourth generation warfare assault, the intent is to use an economic neutron bomb. Doesn't destroy the buildings, but it kills the people eventually, starves you out. Cause chaos, in the middle of that chaos, spark a race war, in the middle of that, unleash these ISIS cells that are now all over the country. And they don't just ignore the influx of these cells, they cultivate it. They give them fertilizer and water and fresh air and make them grow. And look at our borders, same thing, wide open. And you know it's got nothing to do with race. I'm a quarter Mexican. My great-grandfather rode with Pancho Villa in Mexico. But then he decided Mexico sucked. And he came north to Arizona legally and became an American citizen because he wanted his children to grow up in freedom. He thought he was fighting for freedom under Pancho Villa, but it was so corrupt it was unsavable. So it's not about race. I could give a damn about race. What I care about is preserving Western civilization, preserving our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, what makes us Americans. And I'm not a Mexican-American, I'm an American. That is what we must defend. I think it's best for you to assume the worst, that they are going to unleash what you can call a perfect storm. So picture Katrina, but all over the country. Now how do you stop that? The only way to stop it, or to minimize the effect and the manipulation. Because you know what the goal is. Make it so chaotic that the military and police will go along with it. Go along with martial law. Go along with scrapping the Constitution once and for all. And we saw what happened during Katrina. But you have got to come together in your communities. Unite right now. And forget about any problems you've had in the past with recruitment. Forget about that. Today's a new day. One of the silver linings in what's happening now is more and more Americans are waking up to the realities right in front of their face. I can't tell you how many regular Joes are starting to pay attention to the economy, for example. Use that to your advantage. Don't forsake them. Knock on that door again. I think we're running out of time. And so what I'm going to ask every chapter of Oath Keepers to do is to hold an emergency summit in their state of veterans and patriots. You can call it the New York Veteran and Patriot Emergency Summit, focused on the security threats that we face. fact, not fiction, not conspiracy theory, the wide open borders, the ISIS cells, the economic situation, all of that is right in your face. It's fact. And don't forget the giant elephant in the room. Just a year ago, you had Bundy Ranch. You had a slap in the face against the feds, and God forbid, but it was true, there were SF veterans there acting as their contractors. But even they could not handle the response they got from other sheepdogs. They know a tipping point has been reached. They can't just legislate away your rights. They can't just trample on you without consequence. They know and understand that if they had fired a shot at Bundy Ranch, it would have been like Lexington Green. It would have been a civil war. And they know, and you know, at least half the military would have split to our side, at least. I think, I would say 70% of the Marine Corps, at least half the Army, especially among combat arms. What do you think, John? Oh, yeah. Would have gone to us. And they got their asses handed to them. And they know that. That's why I think, all the more, that they realize they can't do it by just dropping the hammer. Or they'd have done it a long time ago. So that's why they're going to use the economic situation and max chaos. So you need to get your stuff together fast. I think the time has passed for just doing it the old-fashioned way. So here's what I'm calling for. Hold an emergency summit. Those who come, that's the coalition of the willing. Let's say this is the summit right here. I would I'd have a map on the wall of New York, divide it into four quadrants or five, whatever makes sense to you. Say, okay, guys, find your county, find your quadrant. You go sit together the rest of the weekend. You're now a team. You sit together, you drink together, you eat together. Rest of the weekend for 3 days or 2 days. And then inside that group, now they're in a geographical group, a team, for the rest of the weekend. And inside of that, they introduce each other. What's your skill set? What's your MOS? What'd you do in the military? What'd you do in the police services? What do you got? Okay, you're in this team. Police officers and infantry guys over here, logistics guys over here, intelligence, communications, medical, engineering, put them in sub-teams inside that geographical quadrant. They are now sub-teams inside of that bigger team. Their job now is to hear what the threat is, to look at your state and see where your strengths and weaknesses are, to go back to their county with a plan and agenda for what they're going to do in their own county to get squared away. What's the first thing SF does when they go to a country or to a new area? An assessment, right? Exactly. Do an assessment of New York. Do an assessment of your county. John, you guys, pick one county. Do a model assessment of that county. So when you hold this summit, you can hold it up and say, guys, here's how you do an assessment. Now go back to your county with this template, and you, as that group over there, you get it done in your region and in your county as you do your own assessments. And you know what you have to do. You got to get security, you got to get food, you got to get medicine, all the essentials. And when they go back to their counties, what's their number one priority, you think? What is it?
Organization.
Who do they got to wake up? The other veterans, the other patriots. And in particular, they got to go grab a hold of those business owners, the guys with money, and shake them down. Okay, Mr. Business Owner, this is going to be gone unless you donate to an emergency food bank for this county or this area to feed us. Because when the collapse comes, like in Argentina or in Germany or wherever else you've seen it throughout the world history, food is the big one. If you don't have food, you're done. This country used to have 3 years of grain reserve during the Cold War. How much we got now?
One day.
Zero. Shows you what your great weakness is. You can have guns, you can have men that are willing, but if you're all hungry and your neighbors are starving, the kids are starving, they're going to beg for martial law. They're going to beg for it. So you had better be able to feed them. You need food reserves. Bulk food. Wheat, rice and beans, cheap. So guys, get it done. I will fly out here in person to help you if you want. But I need you to do this. Your state needs you to do this. And you are in the hot seat. You know that. They would love, like I said, to see the police and the veterans in the state killing each other. And then they'll come in and pick up the pieces afterwards. And I think that's their agenda across the country. So throw a monkey wrench in it and get squared away so that you're not vulnerable, so you don't see a nationwide Katrina. All right, God bless you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Stuart Rhodes, founder of Oath Keepers. If you don't know what Oath Keepers is, you need to get on the website. You need to find out about them. Talk to your local Oath Keepers. You need to get on board. This is one hell of a group standing up for your constitutional rights. I highly recommend joining the Oath Keepers. They are looking for former military and police, as well as civilians, believe it or not. You too can take the oath. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We got some other things to cover, and we'll be back in a sec.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television. This message must resound throughout the entire interlink. I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
Why is no one anywhere in the world telling you the truth and telling you to prepare? I will tell you that I had a network, one of the big three, a network official actually tell me in the last 2 years, Glenn, we all know what's coming. And this is a quote, but we have a responsibility not to tell the American people because they'll freak out.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
I chose my friends carefully. The more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers.
That was the voice of Larry Graffwall, former undercover operative, describing the Weather Underground's plans at a national meeting in 1969. Bill Ayers, President Obama's future mentor and ghost autobiographer, attended those discussions as a leader of the Weathermen. Ayers' associates built and detonated murderous terror bombs. Ayers is a self-described lifelong communist revolutionary. Barack Obama began his political life in Bill Ayers' living room. In 1969, Ayers and the Weathermen already planned to exterminate President Obama's so-called bitter clingers, religious gun owners who would resist his vision of social progress. They have been working on this for generations, but they still have one thorny problem to overcome. The Americans are not yet disarmed and helpless.
At the beginning, Hitler didn't look like or talk like a monster at all. He talked like an American politician.
Those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
Let everyone know that the regulars march for Lexington and Concord.
The British are coming!
The politicians, they all love this.
Pissing off the socialists, defending the republic, and exposing the chicken-necked brown-nosers all in a single broadcast. You're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its maximum hour of danger. You are that generation. This is your role. Freedom must be defended from the government that wants to take it away from us.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. Black Lives Matter protesters who are blocking the freeway, being pushed aside by motorists. The motorists are tired of it. I'm tired of it. We know these are George Soros-funded socialists. Some of these people may actually think that it's about black people. It's not. It's not about black people. It's about pushing a socialist agenda. Black people, I hear you. I'm with you. You may not think that. You believe what you want to believe. I am for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, everything that this country is founded on, freedom, liberty, justice for all. But you're not going to get justice this way. You're just going to end up pissing people off. What you need to do is run for office, and that's what my show is all about. You know, Jason, I once got kicked out of an NAACP meeting. Well, I didn't get kicked out. I was politely asked not to come back because I taught a group of young men how to run for office. Can you believe that?
I can, yeah.
What's wrong with teaching somebody to run for office? What's wrong with teaching somebody to take responsibility into their own hands?
That's not the American way anymore.
Well, it's going to be. You know, the Oath Keepers are out in Ferguson, and they're making headlines. I love it. I remember when I took the oath to join Oath Keepers. A lot of people did. Back when this movement started, Stuart Rhodes, hell of a guy. I'd love to get him on the show. I don't think we're that big yet. I certainly don't want to waste his time. If he wanted to do it as a favor to us, that'd be great, but I don't have time to contact him. I don't know if you saw the video on the Lexington Green on the anniversary.
No,
I didn't. Of Oath Keepers assembled on the green. And they were told to get off the green, school authorities. Now, in Ferguson, they are there to protect the people. And the chief of police comes over to the Oath Keepers. We have the audio. I think I can play it. No, we didn't upload the audio. My mistake. But anyway, the chief comes over and the chief says, You can't have long rifles, even though it's the law in that state, the state of Missouri, to open carry. So the chief says that's what I have lawyers for, because I don't know the law. Now, listen to this, Jason. And the oath keeper said, well, do you know this code or that code? What they're forgetting is that the Supreme Court ruled just, I believe it was last year, that the police are permitted to be ignorant of the law. Well, let me see if I can find that ruling, because it just came to my mind. I didn't even bother looking it up. Let me find it real quick here. I know it's here. I know if memory serves me right. Let's see. What are we looking for? Supreme Court. Police can be. Of the law. There it is. Supreme Court says, this is dated December 15th, 2014. Supreme Court says ignorance of the law is an excuse if you're a cop. There's one simple concept that law students learn in their very first weeks of criminal law class. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, meaning you and I. Principle means that when an individual violates the law, it doesn't matter whether or not they knew what the law said. If it's a crime and they are found to have committed the elements of that crime, they are guilty. On Monday, and this is back in December of 2014, on Monday, the Supreme Court ruled that the same standard doesn't necessarily apply to police. In a splintered 8-1 ruling, the court found that cops who pulled over Nicholas Hine for a broken taillight were justified in a subsequent search of his car, even though North Carolina law says that just having one broken taillight is not a violation of the law. The ruling means that police did not violate Hines' rights when they later searched his car and found cocaine, and that the cocaine evidence can be suppressed at a later trial. It also means that the Supreme Court declined the opportunity to draw a line limiting the scope of police stops at the same time when they are as rampant and racially as ever, blah, blah, blah. So, do you think, and I'm not an attorney, so of course I can't say whether or not it would hold up in this case, but this chief in Ferguson certainly seems to think that it will.
So basically the cops can just kind of make up the laws as they go, right?
Right, and they're not going to be held accountable, at least not by the Supreme Court.
Gee, you think that could be the reason we're having some of the problems we're having in this country?
That's absolutely the reason. When you don't follow the Constitution, you have nothing but problems. These Supreme Court justices, you and I know, Jason, as soon as we got rid of common law, it all went out the window. As soon as we started using case law, where car salesmen can go in and sell the judge, and that judge then makes law, it becomes case law. And other attorneys are now permitted to use that in their cases. That's what the Supreme Court is being used for. And we glamorize it by putting it in the press. Oh, hey, the Supreme Court's going to make a ruling. Ah! The heavens open up and everybody is waiting for the ruling.
Well, isn't that how we make laws now? We just let the Supreme Court decide what the ruling is, and it becomes law, right? That's how things are done here.
That's right, and essentially that's what the police chief is saying. I'm going to go ahead. and take your guns, and we'll let the judge decide.
When the corporations aren't making the laws. I'm sorry, I forgot to add that.
Right. Well, they're hiding behind the Supreme Court justices and legislatures. That's why they call them the puppet masters.
Mm.
Ooh, I just got a thrill up my leg like Chris Matthews. Don't it make y'all tingly inside?
Isn't that what really
freedom's all about? Checks and balances?
Well, yeah, that's how supposed to be how America works, but
nah,
they're proving us otherwise.
That's way back in 300 years ago when the Constitution was written. We don't need that thing anymore. It's outdated. First, it's a living, breathing document. Then it's outdated. When they can't make their argument. Oh, those guys were slave owners. We don't need that Constitution. Half those people that say that would be dead now if it hadn't have been for our founding fathers and that Constitution. So, I have a little clip to play. Perhaps you remember what happened in Katrina. And if you don't, I'm going to refresh your memory here. Just a little clip. I know I've said a bunch of things about Katrina in the past, but you're going to hear it firsthand. You're going to hear the events that happened in Katrina firsthand, things you probably don't remember. The confiscation of weapons, when FEMA went in and cut the communication cables to the police department, the sheriff's office, and the sheriff had to then go post armed guards to guard their communications so that the government wouldn't interfere anymore and gave orders to shoot to kill. You didn't hear any of that. Didn't hear any of that. Here's a little clip.
There's no earthly answer that anyone can understand why these people, after 6 days, are still in this filthy, filthy, miserable convention center. Why are they still here? There's the freeway here. I tell you what I would have done. What I would still do. I would say, let them walk out of here. Let them walk away from the filth. Let them walk away from the devastation. Let them walk away from the dead bodies in here. They won't let them walk out of there because I'm standing right above that convention center. And what they've done is they've locked them in there. The government said, you go here and you'll get help. Or you go in that Superdome and you'll get help. And they didn't get help. They got locked in there, and they watched people being killed around them, and they watched people starving, and they watched elderly people not get any medicine. And now they know it's happening because we've been telling them repeatedly over and over every day. And you know what they're doing now? And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm telling you what's happening. They have set up a checkpoint at the bottom of this bridge. This is the bridge that takes you from New Orleans over into Gretna, from Orleans Parish into Jefferson's Parish. It's the only way out. It's the connection to the rest of the world. And they've set up a checkpoint, and anyone who walks up out of that city now is turned around. You are not allowed to go to Gretna, Louisiana from New Orleans, Louisiana. Over there, there's hope. Over there, there's electricity. Over there, there's food and water. But you cannot go from there
to
there.
I think
the government will not allow you to do it. It's a fact. I don't know, man. I don't let them walk out of here. Let them walk the hell out of here. Let them get on that interstate and walk out. Walk.
We had Walmart deliver three trucks of water, trailer trucks of water. FEMA turned them back. They said we didn't need them. This was a week ago. FEMA. We had 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on a Coast Guard vessel docked in my parish. The Coast Guard said, come get the fuel right away. When we got there with our trucks, they got a word. FEMA says, don't give you the fuel. Yesterday, FEMA comes in and cuts all of our emergency communication lines. They cut them without notice. Our sheriff, Harry Lee, goes back in, he reconnects the line, he posts armed guards on our line, and says no one's getting...
We issued our declaration of 10 orders that we will not obey. And what those are designed to do is to get the troops thinking ahead of time about where their line of the sand is in advance. And that's what we're hearing in feedback from people in National Guard units, is that in Katrina, that's kind of what happened, is the police and the military there, the National Guardsmen, were caught off guard and really hadn't thought about it in advance.
Walking up and down these streets.
There it is, Jason, and that's not even all of it. Go and look on YouTube and look up Hurricane Katrina, gun confiscation. Look at all the stories from sheriffs, from military, from news reporters. Jason, do you remember it?
No, I don't, honestly.
People were locked in that Superdome. Walmart came with water. They turned them back. Coast Guard came with fuel. FEMA said, stand down, turn them back. Cut their communications cables. The sheriff had to post guards and told FEMA, stay the hell away. It was a mess. They confiscated guns. There, you remember the, I don't know if you saw the videos of the little old lady who stayed in her house. She had a revolver. Police came in their house. They went door to door to confiscate weapons. They sent the military in to confiscate weapons door to door.
I do remember that. I remember them spray painting certain houses to denote, I forget what they were trying to mark it for, but I remember that going on.
They marked them for clear. They were all clear because they had already been there. Those were the houses that they cleared. And when they went into this old woman's home, the deputies, they slammed the old lady up against the wall. All she said was, hey, I'm protected. I have a revolver. And they slammed her to the ground. They have video of that. You can go and see it. When an emergency like this happens, and you heard at the beginning of the show, are going to freak out. Not only are there going to be people looting and raping and killing, like in the Superdome, you know how many rapes and murders occurred inside that Superdome when they locked everyone in there?
No, the media never talked about that.
No, they'll never talk about that. But people do, and you can see it all over YouTube. But the government obviously didn't want to help. What did they accomplish by locking all those people in the Superdome? Did they just want to keep it controlled? Controlled killing and raping? I don't know. I don't know what the plan was, but whatever it was a bad plan. Americans have rights. They suspended the Constitution there. Your government cannot suspend the Constitution. The founders would allow the government to suspend the Constitution's issue?
Well, it seems they would.
It seems they would. How so?
Well, you're saying, do I think they would suspend the Constitution?
The Founding Fathers, would they allow
the Founding Fathers? No, I'm sorry. No, not the Founding Fathers, but the criminals in charge now, yeah.
Absolutely. Rex 84, they had a plan. They questioned on the floor of the House when they were questioning Colonel North about Rex 84. Go look up Rex 84. This stuff's been blown wide open for 20 years now. A lot of this stuff is declassified. You can go and you can find it. It's right there. They don't want you to know about it, but it's there. And we were talking about the financial collapse. The markets have been crashing for 2 days now.
Yeah, China just devalued their currency again.
Right.
That just today.
2 days in a row. That's right. And you heard what to stock up on. You got to stock up on food. Food is the main thing. Water and food. The Oath Keepers are talking about feeding the people. Why? Why are they talking about feeding your neighbors, taking care of your neighbors? Yeah, there's a part of me that says, you know what? Let those dumbasses starve. Look what they've done. Some of them, yes, are willfully ignorant. But look at you, Jason. You're not ignorant. You're awake. And yet you still didn't know what happened in Katrina.
Yeah, none of the stuff that you talked about.
So it's not your fault because you aren't willfully ignorant. You learn everything that you can. See, how do you tell those people apart? How do you tell the willfully ignorant apart from people who just have never heard of it? You can't
That's a challenge. Just trying to get anybody to realize what's going on is kind of a challenge. Did you hear about what John Kerry said today?
I did not.
And I just posted this. You can take a look sometime if you want. But according to John Kerry, if this Iranian nuke deal falls through, the dollar will cease as the world reserve currency. And it's on my Facebook page. You can play the clip. You can actually hear him say that. Now, I don't know
because,
if that's...
Well, let's look at that. Why is that? Because Iran is one of the last holdouts. They're not. They have their own national bank.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this is just manipulation to ram this through or if there's some truth to what Kerry's saying, but it's interesting to say the least.
Well, there is some truth to it, because why do you think we're over in the Middle East in the first place?
Resources.
Not just resources. Countries were trading in dinars. They weren't trading in U.S. currency. They weren't trading it. The U.S. currency wasn't the petrodollar. The petrodollar is what keeps us afloat because these politicians can't stop spending.
That is true.
And Iran has their own national bank. They're one of the last holdouts. They're not owned by the multinational banks. So I'm guessing that this deal had something to do with using our currency for the oil trade.
You know, I'll tell you what, it's if Kerry's being honest, it's a bit foreboding.
It would be surprising, yes.
I mean, if there's truth to this, I mean, I don't know. There certainly could be. And I'm feeling a lot of, lately, a lot of anticipation as we go into the next coming months, I'll be honest.
Well, let's look at this for a minute. Even if he is telling the truth, let's just say for a minute he is. Why are we counting on them for the future of our currency? Probably because the politicians have pissed everything away, right?
I mean, did they confiscate all the gold in Fort Knox years ago?
Well, I seem to remember a few years ago, maybe just a year ago, when Germany wanted to repatriate their gold. And New York Federal Reserve said, well, we're going to have to do it over a span of 7 years. Really? Countries asking for their gold back, and you're going to tell them, wow, it'll be several years. Listen, we've controlled the world's currency with the Bretton Woods Agreement since World War II. The mistake we made was we stopped using gold. Right?
Nixon
left the gold standard.
In 1974,
to be exact, was the last year for the gold standard. And since that, because they wanted to print money. Because how do you fund all of this crap? And the people were so dumb, the politicians were just pouring money into their defense contractors, getting rich off of it, all these billionaires. They had the population fooled, and now the chickens are coming home to roost.
Well, and it's estimated that fiat currency will only carry you about 40 years. Well, we're about there.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're done. You had Ron Paul talking about the gold standard. You had all of the media pointing and laughing at him, and all of the lemmings followed. They laughed at him too. Ron Paul was right. He was absolutely correct. And I'm sure there's people out, oh, you're just a Paul bot. Oh, you tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. You racist bigot. You sexist. You homophobe. Oh, they're out there yelling at me right now. But listen, dumbass, that's the way it is. Whether you choose to accept it or not will be your downfall. But now, it's too late for that. Now they have to come up with a new plan. Their new plan is going to be the cashless society. They're going to keep, it's kind of like when you tell a lie. You have to cover up that lie with another lie, and then cover up those lies with another lie, and then so on and so forth until finally you get caught. They hope to keep it going. Still with me, Jason?
Yeah, I am. No, I think America's best days are over, unfortunately. I hate to say that. But the way things are looking, we have been absolutely sold out by the people that were supposed to bring prosperity or at least help America achieve that.
But you're being pessimistic right now.
I have a tendency towards that.
But you can't be pessimistic because people are looking for answers. You have to give people the answers.
Well, first
See,
of all,
if we
people,
sit here and we say, oh, America's gone, oh, it's trash, oh, this is it, the sky's falling. We sound like every other jackass out there. So if you hope to capture the people's attention, if you hope to return America to what it once was, then you have to provide solutions, right?
Well, the first solution is for people to wake the hell up. I don't see that happening, unfortunately. I mean, that has to happen first. People need to get aware. They need to come out of their, you know, slumber, self-induced coma. And that is the first obstacle. And, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mentioned these things. I've tried, and people just... they glaze over. So as long as people remain ignorant, I'm afraid that, unfortunately, things aren't going to get better. And, I'm sorry to be pessimistic. I just don't see... people need to come to before we move forward. But then again, the other thing is, Rob, you got a lot of people in this country that love the idea of socialism. They love the idea of communism. Because in their eyes, it's going to, you know, it's going to allow all of us to sit around in a circle and sing kumbaya when it's actually the opposite.
You know what? I would challenge you on that. I would challenge you and say that there aren't, that their numbers, this socialistic view, their numbers are so minuscule that we could crush them very easily. I'm in the hood. I'm talking deep in the hood every single day of my life for 12 to 14 hours a day. And I get a chance to talk to people. And do you know, I met a lady today. Her and her husband, both black, are Republicans. And I said, well, I wanted to dig a little deeper. I wanted to know, why are they Republicans? She said, well, the establishment has taken over. And do you know, Jason, my jaw hit the floor. I said, holy shit, somebody gets it. That happens at least twice a week. At least. So to say that they have the numbers, they don't. And this lady, by the way, her and her husband both really like Rand Paul. They know exactly what's going on. They're not falling for the crap. They're trapped in an apartment in a huge housing complex where the government pays for their housing. And the people of the building, they come in and inspect their apartments every week. Did you know that places like that exist?
No.
I said, you know what? I wouldn't let anyone in my apartment. But it's part of the agreement for them to live there. And they're not socialists. So I think what we need to do as a people is we need to start addressing each other as Americans, and here's why. When you group black people together, when you group white people together, ask yourself this question. You're going to take care of your own, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
What if we started looking at each other as Americans and nothing else? Would we take care of our own?
I don't know.
I think we would. I think that's the key. That's the answer. After that, we need to educate each other. Don't believe everything you hear. When you read a story and say, look at this, go and research it. Is it true? Is there truth to it? What's the story behind it? Go look up news articles. Develop a credible source. It took me 20 years to find one single credible source. Now, I'll go to other sources and I'll say, yeah, you know, hey, here's the news. But I always go back to that one critical source because they've been right every single time, and that's Infowars.com. Alex Jones, believe it or not, the man has been right. I don't care what anybody says. I've studied this shit for 20, 25 years. He's always been right. He might be 10 years ahead of time. So at the time he says something, people will be like, oh, yeah, all right. Uh-huh. Hey, how's that Jade Helm? Yeah, they're really attacking. Nobody ever said anything about the government attacking. All they said was the potential is there. It could happen. Why not be prepared? Why not prepare for the worst, but hope for the best? Why not do that?
Well, I think that's, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
You'd be
with
an
you.
Idiot if you didn't, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
I mean, do you know what to do in the event of a tornado? Tell me what you do in the event
house.
Of a tornado, Jason. If
What's
you're
that?
In your house, if you're in your house, what do you do when the tornado sirens go off?
You get to the lowest part of your house.
What if you have no basement?
You go to a closet or a room without any windows.
What else?
Duck and cover. Pray to God you don't die.
So you know what to do. People say, well, tornadoes happen all the time. That's not fair. Well, tyrannical governments happen all the time throughout history. You don't think that your government could be one of them eventually? You don't think there's even a remote possibility? And these are the same people who are bitching about how corrupt politicians are and think, It's never going to happen here.
Well, really? It is.
I mean, really? You hear about it every single day, and there's even more stuff that you don't hear about. So why not be prepared? What's wrong with being prepared? What's wrong? You know, when the banks used to come and take people's homes, all of the neighbors in that neighborhood, because they all knew each other, they worked hard. Let me paint you a picture of how things used to be. The husband would come home from a hard day at work because only the husband worked. The wife would raise the children, would go to PTA meetings, would go to the school, and she knew everything her kids were doing. She would make dinner. She would go grocery shopping. The husband, if he was lucky on the weekends, which he did have the weekends off back then, would mow the lawn and things like that, upkeep the house. And they talked to their neighbors. They had a home. They didn't move from neighborhood to neighborhood to neighborhood because they either, because they lost their job, had to start all over again, or a multinational corporation come in and wants them to move from state to state to state. Unless you were in the military, you didn't move a whole lot. You bought that house outright, and you knew your neighbors. Now, when the bank, somebody fell on hard times, and the bank would come and try to take that house, all the neighbors in the neighborhood would rally around and stop the bank from taking that house, and they would help out their neighbors. We're not seeing that anymore. Doesn't happen. People are like, yeah, every man for himself. Multinational corporations come in, they make everyone work the weekends, 12, 14 hours a day. And then some of those people, they hate the unions, but the unions stick up for their workers. I have nothing against unions. I've seen firsthand how unions work. I work in a union. They protect their workers. Yeah, the Democrats have somehow convinced the unions that socialism is good, and they hand out pamphlets about social justice and this crap and that crap. But you know, the unions after the TPP are starting to figure out that, hey, those politicians that I was supporting, those Democrats and Obama, want to take my rights away as a worker. Now they're starting to think about it. Am I going off on a rabbit trail?
No, not really. That's kind of what we do
here.
Am I making
sense?
Yes, absolutely. To me, to the average person on the street not paying attention, I don't know.
I probably lost them a while back, huh?
Probably.
We'll go to commercial, Jason. Gather my thoughts.
All right,
we'll
thanks.
Be back.
Obamacare. Fun. Cool. YOLO. At Obamacare, we believe in saying the words affordable health care so that young people will love us and sign up like lemmings. Sure, you pay 2.5% of your income in penalties, but young people don't have to worry about that because you don't have a job. Work sucks. That's why we at Obamacare want to trade your full-time job for a part-time one, so you'll have more time for fun things, like watching millionaire celebrities tweet about how affordable we are. Obamacare. Just like guys enjoy premium leather seats, so too you'll enjoy paying triple the healthcare premiums out of your new part-time salary. Speaking of guys, ever been on a mandate before? At Obamacare, we're full of mandates. But don't worry, big corporations get exempt, so you don't have to. It's fun paying for things you don't even use.
Yeah, you work out, stay healthy. But come on, brah. Someone's got to pay for people who smoke, drink 85-ounce sodas, and live in a Barca lounger. So enjoy your premium hikes, young people of America, because everyone loves hikes. Obamacare. If millionaire celebrities can afford us, why can't you? A message from the White House Office of Obamacare propaganda to get young people to love us and sign up like lemmings.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum and God made a liberal. God said, I need someone willing to get up at the crack of noon and check their Facebook and tweet vile things, take a nap, borrow money from their parents, and stay out all night drinking Pabst ironically and snorting bath salts and whine until midnight. So God made a liberal. He said, I need a person that can take a thriving community and turn it into a debt-ridden post-apocalyptic welfare state. I need someone who thinks meat is murder, produce is raised in grocery aisles, who can't fix a flat tire or change your own oil, and who, when forced to finally get a job as a barista, makes you wait for your latte while they play Angry Birds on their iPhone and then takes his union-mandated two-hour break. So God made a liberal. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to believe in global warming and deficit spending, yet arrogant enough to look down at hard-working folk because they don't have a worthless PhD in 17th-century Belgian lesbian studies. It had to be someone that would tax and spend, sue and attack, flip and flop, legislate from the bench and pass an unread bill, a person that would take a story of American success and turn it into a lesson of injustice. So God made a liberal. It had to be someone who'd lie to themselves and others and envy the successful. Someone to whine, cry, demand, screech, and scream sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigot. It had to be someone that at the end of the day they could go home after helping rip apart a country with divisive race and class war, and who would laugh and then sigh with mocking eyes, thinking, if I hadn't aborted all my children, they'd probably say they want to spend their life doing what Dad does. So God made a liberal.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree? You've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
With a purple umbrella and a 50-cent hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the Robert Rule Show. My co-host, Jason. We were just talking about solutions, Jason.
Yeah, we were.
So that's what we need to do. We need to be talking about solutions. We need to quit bitching and come up with solutions. And if you have a solution, run for office. Run for office. Let's make America better. Some say it's too late. Maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. Let's get to some news stories. Three new Cosby accusers reveal most explicit details yet. And boy, was it nasty. I'm not even going to read that on the air. Federal taxes hit record high. mystery. One of my friends had posted today that the debt was $14 trillion. I had to remind him that, no, it's $18 trillion, and it's been frozen for 150 days. The portion of the federal debt that is subject to a legal limit set by Congress closed Monday, August 10th, at $18,112,975,000,000. According to the latest daily Treasury statement, which was published at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, that, according to the Treasury statement, makes 150 straight days the debt subject to the limit has been frozen at that amount. It's about $25 million below the current legal debt limit, which is $18,113,080,000,000. I think I just screwed that all up. Anyway, $18 trillion. We'll call it even. On July 30th, Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew sent a letter to leaders of Congress informing them that he was extending a debt issuance suspension period through October 30th. In practice, that means that unless Congress enacts new legislation to increase the limit on the federal debt before then, the Treasury will continue for at least the next 11 weeks to issue daily Treasury statements that show the federal debt subject to the limit beginning and ending each day frozen just below that limit. Any comments on that, Jason?
Well, it's not good news.
I remember when my congressman, now let me make sure I get this right, voted on a piece of legislation, and when they voted on that legislation, it meant that there was no more debt limit, and people didn't even realize what was in that legislation. And so it wasn't until I believe it was April the following year that they actually issued a debt limit. And the whole time it just kept climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. We reported on that right here on the show. I know we did. I know it's in the archives.
Well, our government constantly talks of raising the debt limit, which, to my understanding, would be like if you and I couldn't pay our bills and we asked our credit card companies or our money lenders, hey, just give me more of a credit line. Just expand my credit line. It's no different than that. Welcome. Hello. Hello.
Jason, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, they cut off my phone line.
Nice.
What At that what point did it stop?
I don't know, but I had to hang up for a moment. I had an issue over here. But then I called back, and it was weird because nothing would happen.
Interesting. So we don't know at what point we got cut off.
No.
And everything I said possibly wasn't heard because they didn't like what I had to say. And so they cut off our... They cut everything off.
Something happened. I mean, I had to hang up briefly, but then when I tried to call back, I tried calling back several times, and I got the prompt for the show. I hit one, and I got nothing. And that happened multiple times.
So this whole time, from the time we went to break until now, probably didn't broadcast.
I don't know.
I went on a rant, and it was a pretty good rant, and I can't even remember what I was talking about. Probably a good thing. They wanted to shut us down, so you didn't hear it. And that's fine. We'll be on next week. We'll figure out another way to stay on the air. I think they found a way to shut us down, Jason.
Well, I don't know what happened, but it was kind of strange.
On this show, we were talking about
credit expansion.
Talking about what?
We were talking about credit expansion, just about how raising the debt ceiling. You know what I mean? That's what we were talking about.
Oh, I was talking about my congressman, and then I said. Okay, I know what I was talking about now. I was talking about my congressman, and I remember that he had made a vote to have no limit on the debt. And it went up and up and up and up and up, and nobody knew about it. And that's what I remember. And then I went into this whole spiel about, you know, I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he's a lot of fun at parties. Did you hear that part?
Yeah.
And then I said, the media tries to rip people apart by saying, hey, so-and-so cheated on his wife, or so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that. And that kind of stuff doesn't even matter to me. Did you hear that part?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I got my point across there. I don't care if we got cut off. The people heard it. The people will base their decisions based on votes alone, at least the people that listen to this show, and not what they do in their personal life, because it doesn't matter. Would you rather me be on a drunken binge, getting chased by cops, yelling out the window with my bare ass hanging out, and then come to the Congress the next day and make damn sure you still have your gun rights?
Yeah.
Yeah? What if I voted every single time against the Constitution, then I hung my bare ass out the window at the cops?
That would be a problem for me. Voting against the Constitution, that is.
You caught it, didn't you? Now, what if every vote I made, I voted for the Constitution? And hung my ass out the window at the cops.
I'd buy you a drink.
And I'd have it with you. And that's what we need to be promoting. Falling for this media crap. They're going to dig up dirt on everybody. They're going to do this, that, and the other thing to try to make the good candidate look bad. Look at Kim Lorey. We had her on our show. What they did at a Republican meeting was appalling. She refused to endorse the same congressman I'm talking about at a meeting. And they hung her, they burned her at the stake.
She failed to endorse him for what reason?
because she didn't agree with him. And everybody said, all the leadership said, well, you can't do that. Well, why should we endorse you if you're not going to endorse him? Well, gee, because I have principles. And shouldn't you endorse me because I have principles?
Yeah.
You should have been there. You should have been there, Jason. They burned her at the stake because she wouldn't endorse a congressman that didn't share the same principles as you and I, freedom-loving Americans. And so the party was hesitant to endorse her. If it wasn't for the majority of those people in that room being for freedom, for the Constitution, she wouldn't have gotten the endorsement. But she got the endorsement overwhelmingly, thank God. And we're going to have her on our show because the election's coming up. And she's going to win this time. It was a narrow margin last time. She almost beat an incumbent who was there for years. And then after the election, he stepped down and they appointed somebody else.
Politics for you.
That's how politics works.
Ugly.
A bunch of bullshitting little peons who used to get beat up in school and now they're taking out their aggression on the American people. I can't deal with it anymore. I need to run for office. And in 2 years, I'm going to run for something big. Mark my words. I'm not messing around anymore. We'll still do the show. I'm not going to give this up. I'm just going to get louder and more boisterous. And I'm going to lead at least my community in following the Constitution, the rule of law, and save this republic. Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of you little pansies stepping in and trampling on my flag, my constitution, my guns. I'm not going to have it. Jason, I think we're going to take, we're going to end the show.
Okay.
About a half hour early, but I'm sure you want to get to bed. We're not doing the show tomorrow night. I'm going to go get some young Republicans drunk, and we're going to have a good time.
Enjoy that.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to leave you with, and Jason, I want you to hear this.
All right.
I love this guy. He's an oath keeper. He's in Ferguson. He's behind enemy lines, and he tells it like it is. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to warn you, there is profanity. So if you don't like profanity, I suggest you tune out now, go to bed, have a good day tomorrow at work. But if you're interested in hearing it, here it is.
The only reason the Ferguson, we're here in Ferguson, the Oath Keepers are here, the only reason is because Chief Bomer and Nixon, the governor, didn't protect the people. They surrounded the firehouse and the police station and protected the government buildings and let the poor people of Ferguson to burn. They left them to burn. Over 600 businesses were vandalized, damaged, and stolen from. Over 100 businesses were lit on fire.
Talk about killing of black people. Don't talk about property. Don't talk about the founding fathers.
Let me tell you something.
They were fucking slave
black
owners.
Black lives matter, okay? And anyone
not
who says
the
difference
talk.
Full of it.
Let me
you don't know me. You just
yes,
go park it, you punk.
Punk?
You don't know nothing, okay?
That's because I wasn't going to let you run your mouth like bullshit.
Oh, you're full of it.
Oh, really?
You come stand a post with me.
So you don't think they were slave owners, the people that founded the country?
Okay, who was the first gun control laws passed to prevent people from defending themselves? Who was that?
Black people.
Black people were the ones that were dealt against. What you don't know
is unbelievable. Well, you ought to take your chicken shit ass and walk away.
No, I'm not walking away. Why should I?
Because you're lame and you're clueless and you're uneducated.
You're leveling at us.
He's a RevCon.
You're talking to the wrong guy, man.
Oh, you're that rough, really?
That's the RevCon guy,
right? No, we're curious why you're angry at us. We're allowing men to be safe while they document people.
We've been protecting people of all races here for weeks, and you come up and run your mouth, and you ain't done shit but run your mouth. That's the truth.
Talk about the killing of black people by the police every day.
All right, come here. You want to hear it? You said talk about it. I'll talk about it. Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old boy in Cleveland, Ohio, was shot by a cop who never should have had a badge. That's the truth. He had an airsoft gun in his hand. A man on the streets of New York was choked out for not paying a cigarette tax. I ask you a question. Since when is the penalty for not paying a cigarette tax the death penalty in the United States of America?
Exactly.
Okay, since when? You want to talk about killing black people? I'll talk about it. What about the guy in Cleveland that was in a Walmart holding a pellet rifle, not bothering a single soul, and a policeman runs in and shoots him dead?
John Crawford.
Who else do we need to talk about? How many more? Before we come together and stop this chicken shit bullshit and come together as people and say enough of this. Enough of this violence. How many times? How many times has got to happen? They killed a white veteran in North Carolina, broke into his home and shot him. They killed a white mental health patient in New Albuquerque, shot him in the back, and the officer's on film on his sergeant's car saying, I'm going to shoot that guy the first chance I get. You know, and it just goes on and on and on. And then we got a chief in St. Louis County, Missouri, that says, I don't give a crap about 44.101. I don't care about Missouri state law. I got lawyers for that. I'll deal with it later.
So do you think the community here hears that from you as you're out in the street? Like, do they?
They are if they're listening. I'm talking about it every night. I'm here.
Can I just ask how you think of people?
As you guys noticed, that guy who came over here to kick up all that stuff, he is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what education does. That's what education does, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as always, God bless you all. God bless America.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads.